Good morning. In preparation for our study of the Word of God, your first shift is a mental shift. We study the Word of God to unlock full knowledge of all the treasures that God has to offer His believers. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Therefore let us, believers in Christ, habitually draw near with absolute confidence to the throne of grace in prayer, so that we may receive mercy," that's God's compassion, "and discover grace that was already put in place in the past to help in times of need." Prayer is an offensive weapon that allows believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to influence the human circumstances of others and to request assistance in our own circumstances. Study of the Word of God unlocks the power of prayer and makes us aware of the weapon that that God has put at our disposal. So welcome to your next dose of enlightenment concerning how much God has provided for you. The second shift that you make in the study of the Word of God is a spiritual shift, and that is you assessing your soul condition. At this moment, are you in the carnal condition and out of fellowship with God, or are you in the spiritual condition and in fellowship with God? Well, if you examine yourself, you can get back in fellowship if necessary by admitting your known sins right now to God the Father. And then you can claim a restoration promise like Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13, which says this, "Make straight paths for your feet," that is, stay in spiritual condition, "so that the limb which is lame," your spiritual life, "may not be put out of joint, dislocated by prolonged carnality, but rather be healed." And it is healed by fellowship with God through the filling of God the Holy Spirit. So let's take a few moments to reflect in silence, to fix the eyes of our souls on the Lord Jesus Christ as He gets us ready to know His exact thinking. The opening song is in honor of Matt and Mandy's dad, and it's called "This One's With Me."
Our eyes met, begin to cry. Angels rose in their beauty, were there to show me the way. All of heaven was singing, and I heard His voice say, Father, this one's with me. Part of the family, one of the reasons I died at Calvary. Father, welcome him in. I paid the price for him. On me, heaven's crown. I fell down on my knees, laid my crown at His feet, and He said, tenderly, Father, this one's with me. He's part of the family. One of the reasons I died on Calvary. Father, welcome him in. Yeah. I paid the price for him. Father, oh Father, this one's with me.
Better? It is? It isn't? Sue said it's not good, so. All right, good. All right, so that goes out to Mandy and Matt's dad, and we witnessed in his health recovery, God showing off, right? In that he was almost written off on a ventilator, and then he recovers. When he wakes up, you know, it was like they took him off the ventilator, what, four times? And the fourth time they were going to take him off, said, hey, if he doesn't breathe on his own this time, then we're just going to call it. And he not only breathed on his own, but he asked for pizza, right? And then the next thing you know, he's got a lung transplant. He had cystic fibrosis. If you live past 20 with cystic fibrosis, you're doing great. He's 49, and now he's got a lung transplant, and that's just God showing off. You know, that's not a miracle. That's just God showing off. Anyway, he likes this song, and June just learned how to sing it. How many times did it take you to learn how to sing it?
I listened to it for a couple hours.
Did you? Well, that's pretty good. So thank you. That's a tribute. So... Let, huh?
I said God just did some showing off with our friend, too.
Oh, good. That's really good.
So,
God's showing off a lot these days.
The doctors were saying, we don't understand what happened. They were just stunned.
Yeah.
We could all say, we know.
Yeah, we do know. And you know what? The medical community, just so you know, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not being bitter here, and with all due respect to the medical community, but the medical community's attitude these days is kind of, you know, if you're 78 and you're sick, you had a nice life. Take some morphine and go home. And, you know, get on with it. And that's kind of, you know, if you don't have the faith that comes from your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll believe them. But the time, the manner, and the place of your death is God's sovereign decision. And you are not going to be on this planet one day less nor one day more than that sovereign decision. And he is in control. So as long as you remember that, you'll be in good shape. Don't ever give up on yourselves. Ever. You are not too old, and it is not too late. At all. Don't give up on you. Because God never gives up on us. Amen? Amen. All right. So let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Encourage us by giving us insight into the great future you have planned for this ministry, Barah Ministries. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and you are listening to Lesson 322 of the Angelic Conflict Series. Welcome to a ministry designed for serious students of the Word of God. Welcome to our guests. We've got Andre here from down in Texas, out of school. Welcome to the summer. Welcome to the boredom. Mandy, you have a guest? What's his name? Sam? What up, Sam? I hear you are a victim of Roman Catholicism. Me too, for 21 years. You know? So welcome. We're glad to have you here. So turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Caleb, open this mic up for me, will you? Come here, Deacon Elliot, Pastor Elliot. No, he tried to take over, didn't he? Did he plot the overthrow? Was he any good? So you forgot to tell him the story of how you came to get to teach that lesson, right?
Yeah, so the other day, Pastor Rory asked me about... he wants me in his pulpit.
No, I don't. You better get out of here. Hurry up.
So the other day, Pastor Rory asked me how the children's Bible study was going, and I was telling him, and then, you know, started venting a little bit about it, and he said, okay, well, this Sunday I'm going to teach the kids. And so it got quiet, and I thought, well, then who's going to teach the adults? And he said, well, you are. And so it got quiet again, and I told him, I said, well, I'm not comfortable with that. And then he said, good. So that'll give you an idea for what it was like growing up with them. It was constantly being thrown into the fire. So, but again, thanks for the opportunity to talk to your congregation.
You are welcome. Yeah. Thanks for being here. Now, just to demonstrate to you what a wimp he is, Pastor McLaughlin gave me 5 minutes to deliver my first lesson. I went to see Pastor McLaughlin. I had just driven an hour and a half from Boston to Somerset, Massachusetts, and I was falling asleep at the wheel. My prayer on the way there was, God, please just don't let me fall asleep at the wheel. I got there at 7:45 for an 8 o'clock service. I walked in. Pastor McLaughlin was sitting up at the pulpit. I waved to him. He waved to me. He didn't know I was coming. I sat down. He came up and shook my hand, and he grabbed it real tight, and he just kept shaking it and shaking it. He says, how you doing? I said, I'm good. He said, I wanted you down at the Tucson conference. I said, yeah, I couldn't make it. I was over in China. He said, that's too bad, because I wanted you to teach. And I said, wow, that would have been really nice. I'd really like to teach from your pulpit sometime. He said, how about now? And he took off the microphone and handed it to me. Now, he's whining. I gave him, what, like 3 days, 4 days? What? But I wanted Deacon Elliot to come up and talk to you about the parenting idea and about kids, because he's been doing a lot of work in that area, and he has a lot to say. And we're going to be kicking up our ministry to parents within Barah Ministries, because we really think it's important for us to help you with the kids. I just taught the kids, and I taught them about six things, which they're going to get quizzed on next week. I asked them, how do you get to heaven? How do you get to heaven? Alani, how do you get to heaven? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And I said, oh, yeah, well, big deal. Prove it. You know, they got cotton mouth. But then finally, Justin can now tell you that there are five verses that would prove it. What are they? John 3:16. Acts 4:12. Acts 16:31. John 3:36. One more. And John 14:6. Right? So it's one thing to know how to get to heaven, but it's another thing to prove it. And all the proof comes straight from the Word of God, the inerrant canon of Scripture. This is not literature. This is the exact thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's now able to crank those off. And then I asked him, what are the three phases of the Christian way of life? Alani, what are they? Exactly. Salvation, the Zoe, life, and eternity. Big deal. So you know that. Can you prove it? Justin, can you prove it? Salvation, prove it. Correct. Zoe life, prove it. Correct. Eternity, prove it. That's easy for you to say. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Exactly. Now, here's the funny thing, Justin. The people in here are saying, I don't know, I could have answered that. See? You're ready. And then I asked him, true or false, you can lose your salvation. Sam, true or false, you can lose your salvation. True? That's what Roman Catholics are taught, right? They're taught, if you believe in Christ, then after you believe in Christ, you're saved, and then you can lose your salvation, right? You can go to hell after you believe in Christ. Alani, is that true? No, that is not true. Prove it. It's easy for you to say. John 10:28 says, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give you, believers in Christ, eternal life, and you will never perish, and no one will snatch you out of my hand. Why is that? Because your salvation was accomplished by God, not by you. And God is immutable. He never changes. James 1:17 says, with God, there is no shifting shadow. He never changes. He's immutable. So once he saves you, he can't even change your salvation. Amen, Sam? Amen. So it's false. That's false doctrine from the Roman Catholic Church. And Romans 8:38-39 also proves it, which says, I am convinced, this is Paul talking, I am convinced of this very thing, that a host of things can't separate you from the love of God, the unconditional love of God, which comes from being in union with Christ Jesus. Sam, here's what happens to you at the moment of salvation. This is Jesus Christ. This is you. You're placed into union with Jesus Christ. Wherever he goes, you go. That's called in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ Jesus. Do you imagine that Jesus Christ is going to go to hell? No. Therefore, can you go to hell? No. Well, know why? Because you're right here. And no one will snatch you out of his hand. Amen? Yeah, but see, you got to be able to prove it. Justin, who wrote the book of Romans? Paul. What happened to him right after he wrote the book of Romans? He went to jail. Awesome. He was in Corinth for 3 years, and then he went to jail. Amazing. And then, what does it mean, Alani? What does in Christ Jesus mean? So what does that mean? Correct. See, you know what? I mean, it doesn't take long to get it into kids, right? It doesn't take long to get it into you. And you got to be able to snap that stuff off just like that. That's what I want, Deacon Elliot Clark. And then I started teaching him a song. Jesus Christ, giving us eternal life, died for all on the cross. He showed Satan who is boss. Hey. It is Jesus Christ. If you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're guaranteed Eternal life. See, you can take songs that they know, write words to them, cements it, right? Now, next week I want you to teach them that song, but you got to bring the music because they cannot sing. Justin and Alani, they sounded like somebody was killing them. They had a stomach ache. Oh, man. I'll tell you, I don't get no respect. Anyway. So I asked you earlier to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Today's study, the Creator wants you to know the future of Barah Ministries. The Creator wants you to know the future of Barah Ministries. So we're in a transition. We're in a transition between transformation and education in our study of the 10 R's that God provides to make us great recipients of the Word of God. We've learned salvation. We've learned transformation. And now we're moving on to education. So this is a midpoint, and I just wanted to stop before we go on to education, and we'll begin that next week, and tell you something about the ministry. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says this, "Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law." Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Here's what it says in the Hebrew. Proverbs 29:18 in the Hebrew. Where there is no vision from the Word of God. That's where we get our vision from the Word of God. If God doesn't promote you, you're not promoted. The people are unrestrained. What does that mean? They throw off the harness of restraint and thus are unhappy. What is the harness of restraint? Authority orientation. That's where you orient your life to what the Word of God says. That's what I was just talking to Sam about, right? You can orient your life to the Roman Catholic Church and to its false doctrines. And if you do that, you've thrown off the restraint of the absolute truth, the Word of God. And the Word of God says you cannot lose your salvation. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says you can. Who do you believe? They're saying polar opposite things. The person with no vision from the Word of God has thrown off the restraint and thus are unhappy. Because how happy could you be? What kind of Jesus Christ would it be for you to worship him? And he says, well, yeah, but if you do anything wrong, I'm gonna turn my back on you. He's not a human being. He's the God-man. He's God the Son who stooped to walk into true humanity. He's 100% God and 100% true humanity in one person forever. It's not a guy. It's not a man. He's not a prophet. He's not a rabbi. He's not a teacher, all the insults that were hurled at him. He's the Lord. He's God the Son plus 100% true humanity who came here impeccable in his nature through the virgin birth. Amen? So, if you don't have the vision from the Word of God, then you've thrown off the harness. You're not authority-oriented. When you're not authority-oriented, you're not happy. Women who reject the authority of their husbands in a marriage are not happy. They are not happy people. And you know how you know? Because eventually they have short hair, they're bald. Because they get like guys. They get the short hair going. I'm serious. And everybody go tell you that. And then they say, oh, well, it's just easier. Yeah, it is. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you in a responder to your husband? And, you know, a couple ladies in here got short hair and you're looking at me kind of mean. I'm not talking about you. You're here studying the Word of God. You know what I'm talking about. You know how it is. That's what happens when women are unhappy. It is physically manifest that they're unhappy. Well, if you want to be happy, get under the restraint of the Word of God and you'll be ecstatic. Happy is he who obeys the law. What is the law? The mandates of the Word of God. Not the Ten Commandments, all of the 7,000 mandates of the Word of God. Why? What does it say? Be filled with the Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are happy. You are content regardless of circumstance. When you commit a personal sin and you're ejected from God's system of power, you are not happy. You are searching for your happiness. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen? Amen. And you are not going to find it, because God will not allow you to prosper when you are in carnal condition. That's that. That's just the way it is. And so you just need to orient your life to that. You can do all that stuff all you want to, but it's just never going to work out. And that's that. That's what this is saying. All right, so here's the point. Here's what I'm telling you. I often hear this comment from members of this congregation. They say, Pastor Rory, if you need anything, let me know. Pastor Rory, if you need anything, let me know. And I guess that's supposed to be edifying for me, but actually, every time I hear that, I feel like somebody kicked me right in the solar plexus. Because all throughout my life, I have found that to be a paralyzing statement. And it's mainly because of my own inadequacy. Because I don't really know what to ask for. Now, that does not mean that I don't know what I want. But here's I don't know what to ask for. Romans 8:26 confirms it. In the same way, God the Holy Spirit also helps our weakness in prayer. For we don't know how to pray as we should. I don't know what to ask for. But God the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us. That is, acts as a go-between for us, between us and God. And he prays for us with groanings that are too deep for words. See, God the Holy Spirit is the original caveman. He communicates in grunts. Amen? That's a joke. Did you think it was funny? I thought it was funny. He's not a caveman. He's God. Right? He's a person. But it's not that I don't know what I want, because I really always have known what I want. It's that I don't know what you're willing or able to do. So, in the off chance that you're feeling creative, I thought I'd take a few moments to express the desires of this pastor and thus the desires of this ministry, both to you and to God, so that we have a good laugh together when he provides it all. This is my wish list, and you can follow along with the mind map that I have provided you with. Here it is. There is a mind map. And for those of you who weren't in the first lesson, I'm going to be starting to teach you via the accelerated learning method. We are no longer going to be passive learners of the Word of God. We're going to be active learners of the Word of God. This was stimulated for me by Hannah's face. Hannah is our 15-year-old. And she's sitting there, and I had a vision down the line of Hannah at 23 years old. She's unmarried with three kids. And I'm just kidding. I don't believe that about you. That's not going to be true, is it? Huh? You sound a little tentative. That's not going to be true of you, is it? That's right. All right, so 23 down the road, she's at work, and somebody asked her, Hannah, do you go to church? And in the vision, she said, yeah, I used to go to church with this guy, Pastor Rory. And she was haranguing about it, right? And that bothered me. I thought, no, we cannot have Hannah not thinking at 23 years old that this was the most amazing experience of her life, being right here in Barah Ministries. So we are changing it right now. This is going to be an active learning experience. It's going to be wonderful. Amen? I ain't here to play. Did you get that tone from me today? I am tired of playing. It's time for us to go to a new level in this ministry. Caleb called me out, called the ministry out, said we had potential. It made me mad. Amen? But unfortunately, he was right, right? That's because potential is, right now you pretty much suck, but one of these days you're going to be great, right? And I don't think we suck. I think we're an amazing group of people, actually. And I think that it's time for us to stand up and be counted. I think our sit is over, and it's time for the walk of the Christian way of life that's called for in the book of Ephesians. Sit, walk, and then take a stand. Well, it's time for us to walk. All right, so here are the wishes, the wish list of this pastor. First thing, upper left-hand corner of the mind map, a church. A church. Here is the piece of land that we purchased. We just spent about $300 to remove the weeds from the land. The neighbors were complaining, and I didn't blame them because the weeds were quite tall, but they've been removed. And while the guy was removing the weeds, he offered to buy the barn that's in the back of the church. But I'm not going to sell it because when you have a structure like this, when you're building a new structure, sometimes you can grandfather in special favors because you already have structure on there. So I'm not going to take anything down until we know what we're going to do. But that land is sitting there. That's going to be the future home of Barah Ministries. It's on Guadalupe and Burke, and it's going to occur in God's timing. So my view, from my viewpoint, it's going to take us $1.5 million to put a building on there and $250,000 a year to run that, half of which would be my salary. And that's what it's going to take for me to be a full-time pastor. Okay? Just so you know. All right, now, where are we going to get that money from? I don't have the slightest idea, but I do know this. And I know this with absolute certainty. God is going to provide it in his perfect timing. And until then, we're in hotels and we're doing what we're doing right now. That's it. Because I believe that God had already ordained this in eternity past, and it will show up at the proper time. So there's nothing we have to worry about. So, a church. I'd like to see a two-story building on this lot with a pastor's quarter and a nice, intimate and welcoming chapel for people to come to worship. And I want it to be equipped with state-of-the-art technology so that we can produce amazing audio, video, and publications. Because the whole reason to have a church is to put things out. And that's what I want. And I want it to be a center of influence in the matter of accurate teaching of the Word of God. Amen? The next thing I want coming down that left side of the mind map is a high-tech congregation. I want a high-tech congregation. A high-tech congregation are people who are comfortable with using technology. The day when you're sitting here in this study with a laptop open in front of you, loaded with Bible software, and I say turn to Acts 16:31, and you type ACT 16:31, return, and you are there in a nanosecond, I'm going to be the happiest man. I'm going to ask God, take me, Jesus, take me now. Amen? All right, so why is that? I want you to be able to have a computer, a software, Bible software program. I want you to be able to have an MP3 player, and I want you to be able to download podcasts so that you can take doctrine with you no matter where you are. MP3 player with earphones. I want this to be a technological congregation. I don't want you to be one of those people who is, well, I'm not into technology. I'm too old. I'm not into technology. Wake up and come into the new century. And let me tell you something. I am a consultant and in my other life, and one of the things I have is content for salespeople. And that content is in a program called PageMaker 7.0. PageMaker 7.0 came out. Don't be squinting at me. PageMaker 7.0 came out in 1999. And I just took a two-day seminar for a program called InDesign, which is the upgrade, the seven generations from then upgrade of that program. And I learned it in 2 days. Learning technology is a piece of cake. It's really, really, really simple, especially if you have a Macintosh. So I'm not into technology. Wake up and be alive. Get into the 21st century. And you are surrounded by people who know technology, young people who know it, love it, and can teach it to you. And if you don't know it, there's no excuse. Here's why that's important. There may be a day when we can't get our lessons via any other method but technology, and that day is coming quickly. You need to be prepared. Now, come on into the 21st century is what I'm telling you. That's what I want. I want a high-tech congregation, resident and non-resident, people who are comfortable with technology. And I'll tell you why. We're about to reprint our book, And You Will Be Saved. It costs $5 a book. On the internet, it costs $0 a book. Amen? You download a PDF, you print it, and you read it. No money. No money. And that is fiscally responsible. This ministry is going to be phenomenal with the blessings you give us financially. What we've been doing with the blessings that we've been getting is phenomenal. Because I know how to manage money. And this is what we're going to do because it's inexpensive, it's labor, it's not labor intensive. It's very effective. Conferences. That's the next thing I want. Conferences. I'd like to have a God's Men conference with Pastor McLaughlin and Pastor Farley every other year. Those conferences cost $15,000. I'd like to have a conference every quarter in a different part of the country. Those conferences cost anywhere from $3,500 to $5,000 a quarter. A West conference like Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, a Midwest conference like Houston, a Mideast conference like Chicago, an East conference like Pennsylvania and New York. We've got non-resident congregation members in all those locations, and they need face-to-face teaching, and we're going to give it to them. That's what's going to occur. And so we need creative ideas about how to get that money into this congregation. We've done it already, so you know it. We've already had a conference. That conference that we had, the God-Man's Conference last year, was a $15,000 conference, and we raised $30,000 for it. And that $30,000, that extra $15,000 allowed us to do the quarterly conferences. Those quarterly conferences are going to be called Martis, which is the Greek word for witnessing, the Martis conferences, unless I come up with a better name than that. I kind of like that one. Next, Pastor's Library. That's one of my, I'd like to have $2,500 a year to add to my pastor's library, especially the electronic part of it. I took a seminar on a software program called Logos, which is unbelievable. I have 1,300 books on Logos right now, so I can take my pastor's library anywhere I go in the world. And it used to be you had to have all the books on the bookshelf. That day is dead. And I can search any of those books in 2 minutes. I can pull up more resources than I could ever study in 2 minutes. Next, the website. I'd like to have a person in the resident congregation to assume the responsibility of managing our website and coordinating with Deacon Mark Pomeroy, who created it. Right now, Jamie does this, but she does not have the technical expertise required for the position. There's a lot of things that we can do with a website. You take a 5-minute break and I'm going to talk to you about some of those things that I see. 5-minute break. Thank you. disgusting. All right, welcome back. So now let's go up to the upper right-hand side where it says audio, video, publications, transcription of your mind map. And so here's what's on my wish list. As I see it, let's first talk about audio lessons. And Caleb, Deacon Caleb Auburn, soon to be Deacon Caleb Auburn, is in charge of audio. And so as I see it, the purpose of audio lessons is to develop the content for a book, which is easier to study. So I have 40 lessons up on religion. And what I want to do is turn that into a book. Now, I've had a lot of fits and starts on that. I've got the first couple of chapters of that, and I've got the structure in my head. But now it needs to be turned into a book. And I'm going to talk to you when I get to publications about why these books aren't happening fast enough. But I'd like to re-record old lessons that have value, that are keepers, and perhaps then turn them into publications. An example is the Oregon Conference. I think it was 2007, and I taught, sometimes you have to say enough's enough in a relationship. And I think that would be a great chapter in the book on divine relationships. And so I would like to not only re-record that lesson, but also get that lesson captured in transcription and then turn it into a publication. Because I think that was a valuable thing for a lot of Christians who were there. So Deacon Caleb Auburn is going to be in charge of making sure that we do different things with audio. It's not just him sitting there and playing with the buttons and playing music. He's going to be creating different things in audio that will help us to evangelize and help us to teach more effectively. I'm going to begin teaching in an accelerated learning format that is effective for auditory, kinesthetic, and visual learners. Some people learn through their ears. Some people learn through their eyes. Some people learn kinesthetically. And the people who learn kinesthetically are always thought of as dumb. Justin is one of those kids. Justin is a fidgeter. And, you know, so if a teacher sees Justin and says, oh, well, he's kind of dumb and he's got ADD. No, he doesn't. He's kinesthetic. He wants to learn by moving. So I was teaching him how to remember a Bible verse. Stand up and do it like this, Acts 16:31. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then what he'll do after he does that about five times, he'll just start hitting his leg and reciting the verse. Because that's the way kinesthetic learners learn. Mike is a kinesthetic learner. So a lot of times we're on the golf course, if I want to help him with something, see, Mike spends his whole lesson pretending like he's taking notes. He isn't taking notes, but he needs to move. He needs to move, right? And so that's why I'm going to teach you how to mind map, because this will help you, for the kinesthetic learner, this will help you move and learn. And for the visual learner, you'll be creating pictures and doodles. The best kids in school were the doodlers. I used to sit next to all the doodlers. And they get back their paper, it's an A. I get my paper back, it's a C. I was like, all you do is doodle in class. How did that happen? Well, I remembered the information that was right by the doodle. And that's accelerated learning. And so for the kinesthetic, we're going to teach them through motion. For the auditory, we're going to teach them through the ears. And for the visual, we're going to teach them through the eyes. That's why we have this. That's why I have this. And now we're going to add the active component of you interacting with me during the lesson by mind mapping. And now that will, audio only, you remember 10% of it. Visual only, 20% of it. Audio visual, 50% of it. Audio visual kinesthetic, 70% of it. Now, if you want to remember under pressure, that's how you do it. And that's what we're going to do. So, you know, I think didactic, which is what we do in here, is a very effective method of teaching, but it has to be combined with action. Otherwise, 10% only. Not good enough. Video lessons. If you go down the right-hand side, Van Brumbach and Clinton McCallum are going to be handling visual things. And so here was the audio thing. It was the podcast. You know, we're going to do podcasts, but here's the visual thing. Van and Clinton are going to be handling the video. I'd like some video lessons that evangelize. I'd like to do a series called I Am a Christian. I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard the things, I am a Mormon. You know, where Mormons say, I am a Mormon, but I'm also a Christian. Well, if you're a Christian, then why do you say you're a Mormon? They're not Christians. They don't believe in the same Jesus Christ of biblical Christianity. And even though they have Jesus Christ on the door, they're not Christians. That's religion. Religion is man by his own effort seeking the approval of God. Religion is a satanic counterfeit. It's false. It takes the truth and mixes it with a lie. It's a con game. And it's fooling billions of people. 1 billion Roman Catholics. And a whole bunch of others. All right? So, I want to evangelize. I want a 60-second... I asked you guys to tell me 4 things that I've done to change your lives, right? I want to take those and turn them into 60-second commercials that can be put on the web. And it would sound like this. I was in an awful car accident. A head-on collision with a semi-trailer truck. A friend of mine was killed. And I was in the hospital for a really long time. And a guy who came into my bank asked me if I ever wondered why I lived and my friend didn't. And I was curious, so I said yes. And he invited me to his church, and I went, and I never left. My name is, and I'm a Christian. I wasn't going to say it. Give the girl a break. But that's Rachel Garcia. And you know what? God had a plan for Rachel's life when that semiconductor, why do I keep saying semiconductor? Semi-trailer hit that car. He had a plan for Rachel's life. And the plan that he had for Rachel's life is being manifested in that Rachel and Ben are about to have a son. Tell me our God's not showing off. He's showing off. But people would relate to that because there's none of us that haven't had some unfortunate thing in our lives. All of you are here for a reason, that you came here and you chose to come here. And we need to tell people about that. And I don't think that's cheesy. I think it's amazing. And we're gonna use the technology and brag a little bit about you. I want people to see who you are. I want people to see your faces, resident congregation and non-resident congregation. So we're going to use video effectively. I want all of our audio and video lessons to be arranged on the website in such a way that they are Section 508 compliant. That means that is the government standard for making technology available to the visually impaired and the hearing impaired. I had a woman call me recently who said that, she said, I'm blind. And I can't really navigate your website real well. And that stuck with me. And now I know why. And we're going to fix that website so that it is 508 compliant, so that anybody with any infirmity can handle it. Because it is our obligation to do that. Next, publications. Deacon Denny Goodall is going to handle publications. So he's been training our audio and video staff, and now he's going to move into publications. This is going to be a stretch for Deacon Denny, but I'm moving him there because I trust his doctrine. And he knows doctrine cold. And every time he comes up here and gives an offering, you see that he knows the doctrine. He knows what he's talking about, and he has a magnificent command of analogies that make doctrine easy to learn. And so he's going to run the publications. And I'd like to produce a publication a month, or at the very least, a book a quarter. And there are 12 books that I have in my head right this minute. Here they are. Be filled with the Spirit, and the truth will make you free. In Christo Jesus, all Israel is not Israel. If it's grace, it's no longer works. These have been written that you may believe. God cares for you, and I will not remember your sins. That's the restoration one. It's not God's will that any perish. And all things you ask in prayer, in the beginning God, the angelic conflict, and if we confess, rebound. Now those are the books I have in my head. We have, Jenny Brumbach transcribes every lesson that we do. And we have the capability right this minute to take those already written lessons with those fantastic notes that are on the website and turn them into books. But if you're waiting for me to do it, you're going to be waiting a long time because I have the responsibility of studying and teaching. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach Deacon Denny a way that I want that stuff assembled. I'm going to give him a closed system for the books. Like I'm going to say, "And I Will Not Remember Your Sins" is a 5-chapter book. It's 25 pages. And here's what I want in it. And he's going to have a staff that works with him that goes and gets that data, assembles it. I'm going to manipulate it, make sure it's doctrinally correct, send it out to the proofreaders that help me with the doctrinal content, and it will be on the website. And a year from now, all of those books could be published if you step up and help me do it. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, you're going to step up. I'm the master of coercion. I would also like to develop pamphlets that we can use to evangelize. Mandy put one together, and it kind of fell through the cracks, but it was really good. It went from you to me to Jamie to hell. Right? So it's still sitting in hell, and it needs to be resurrected from the dead. Amen? It needs some Zoe life. Amen? I would also like to make sure that everything we do in book form is in Espanol. Comprende? Comprende? Diana, comprende. See? Por favor, ayúdame con esto tan pronto como sea posible. Posible. Me encanta los mexicanos, ¿verdad? Was that any good? Come on. Por favor. That was great, right? All right. Ayúdame con esto tan pronto como sea posible. ¿Está bien? Me encanta los mexicanos. Mexicanas. Oh, cubanos. Me encanto cubanos. Me encanto puertorriqueños. Amen? ¿Verdad? What I said is that I would love for somebody to help me make it possible to put this stuff in Spanish because I love Mexicans.
Mexican males.
Yeah, Mexican males. No, Mexicanas. I like Mexican women a lot better. All right, next, transcriptions. Jenny Brumbach. Oh, that's, we didn't have one for Jenny Brumbach? We didn't have a slide for Jenny? Jamie? Yeah, I mean, like, couldn't we?
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, I'd like a pool of people to help Jenny with transcriptions so we can put her hard work to use in the form of publications. So she listens to a lesson, and then she types it out. That's why Jenny hates me. She has Rory Clark playing in her head nonstop all the time because she has to go back and forth and back and forth. She hears my same old tired jokes all the time. And what I'd like to do is give her a staff so she can get a break from that, because eventually that does wear you out and you want to join the army or kill yourself, one or the other.
We have about 4,000
pages. Exactly. And there is no way that 4,000 pages couldn't be 12 books right now. We've done enough to turn that into a reality right now. We just need assembly help. And I know exactly how to do it. Deacon Denny's going to know how to do it. And then people are going to know how to do it. Amen? All right, next. Here's what we do. Here's why Barah Ministries exists. Barah Ministries exists as a Christian church to accurately represent the person, the essence, the thinking, the work, and the reputation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we do. Now, how do we do it? We evangelize to unbelievers, providing the accurate gospel message, the good news about Jesus Christ's salvation work at the cross. Sam, here it is. You ready? How do you get to heaven? 5-word conversation with God the Father. Father, I believe in Christ. And that is the moment of eternal life for you. And then you cannot lose it. I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hands. And then will you die physically in this life? You will be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord in a place of no more sorrow, no more tears. The old things have passed away. The new things have come. A place exceeding abundantly beyond anything you could ever ask or think. And so we believers in Christ prefer to be absent from the physical body and at home face to face with the Lord. There is nothing to be scared of when you die as a Christian, because the only thing that dies is the body with the sin nature in it. The soul and the human spirit go to heaven, are placed in an interim body that's recognizable to family and friends, and you live face to face with the Lord forever. And then when you're a believer in Christ, Sam, you will go to the judgment seat of Christ. And in the judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ, will God bring up your sins? Sam says yes. That's what we were taught in Roman Catholicism, right? Well, no, he will never bring up your sins, because he says, as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your transgressions no more. That's what Christ went to the cross for. He went to the cross to pay for your sins. They're done. They're no longer an issue. What you'll have at the judgment seat of Christ is he will tell you what things you did on this earth that were divine good and what things were human good. Things you do in carnal condition are human good. Things you do in spiritual condition when you're filled with the Spirit are divine good. The human good will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ so that it can get out of the way so God can talk to you about all the cool things you did, divine good. Amen? That's what we're talking about. And when you're dying, Psalm 23 says, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who keeps on shepherding me. I cannot lack anything. Even though I walk through my own death-shadowed valley, I cannot fear you with me. The Lord Jesus Christ will escort you personally from physical death to eternity. Why? Because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. That's what we do. We evangelize to unbelievers. Then we teach Bible doctrine accurately using the ICE method. We teach eisegagics. The Bible has to be studied in the time it was written, interpreted in the time it was written. Categories, like the angelic conflict, 21 categories of doctrine in the angelic conflict, which is what we're studying. And then exegesis, going to the original languages and seeing what they say. The original languages are perfectly crystal clear. Koine Greek for the New Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic for the Old Testament. Perfectly clear, simply structured languages, easily translatable into any language. And that's what we do here. We teach eisegagically, categorically, and exegetically. And then what else do we do? In the future, we will conduct missionary activity, raising pastors in independent, self-sustaining churches throughout the world, as God provides the opportunity. There's a guy in Houston that I think has the gift of pastor teacher, and I was trying to develop him, but he was too young as a Christian. He's been a Christian for 3 years. But what I was hoping is that in his process that he would translate all of the material into Spanish, because it would have been perfect. He's very fluent in Spanish. But it didn't work out. So our aim as a ministry is to make the Word of God fun to learn, easy to remember, so we can join God's team and learn all about Him. All right, so you ask me, Pastor Rory, if there's anything you need, let me know. I just told you. I need that. Not only do I need it, we're going to have it. And I want you to help me get it. I want your creative ideas. I want your contributions. I want your spiritual gifts in play. And I don't care how old you are or what your previous condition of servitude was. This ministry is going to be alive and powerful. It's going to not only learn the Christian way of life, but it's going to execute the Christian way of living. And I need to be a full-time pastor. I need it. I want it. I'm ready for it. So, help me. Help me. Help you. Help me help you. Amen? Amen? All right, June, come on up and sing the closing song. Tell these people who they are. We are royalty. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
the moment we believe in Christ, we're royal priests by name. A brand new spiritual species, the Spirit sealing remains. Our God sanctifies us. Yes, we are set apart because of God's awesome plan. Royalty thou art. We're God's royalty, called to live in dignity, in transparency, for all the world to see. We are God's royalty. One day we're co-heirs with him, blessed with spiritual blessings. He calls us his friend. No one can separate us from our union with Christ. The cross elevates us to a royal spiritual life.
about you, but I got goosebumps. Excellent use of the diaphragm. So, Sam, it can't be that easy, can it? Five words to salvation? Can't be that easy. But there was a thief on the cross next to Jesus Christ, and it was nine words for him. I think it's in Luke chapter 23, verses 42 and 43. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And then after that, he went, got down off the cross and went and got, did the sacraments and, you know, got extreme unction, right? No, he died that day on the cross. And later that day, he was with Jesus in paradise. And it's that simple. It's simple for you because it's not so simple for Christ, right? Andre, thanks for being here. This is the last time I'm going to see you? All right, good. So I want you to take some of this propaganda down to your colleagues. Because engineers, you know, they think too much. You know, well, can you prove it? Yes, I can. Yeah, I can prove it. I swear. All right, here we go. I'm crazy, man. If I wasn't doing this, I'd be in prison. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, no, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. You feeling me on that? You feeling me? Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back because he cares for you. And he cares for you means God considers your problems to be his responsibility. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for giving us the ability to have vision and to want things. Thanks for the gift of free will. Thanks for the simplicity of salvation, and thanks for the power that you gave through sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that it would open up the possibility of relationship between you and all mankind, so that whosoever believes in you could never perish but have eternal life. And I pray that this message reaches into the depths of the souls of those people who hear it, and that they ask themselves how they can contribute to the building of your ministry and to the offering of their time and talent and treasure for the glorification of you in our time on earth to a lost and dying world. And we pray that you allow this ministry to keep creating messages that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.